We turn in the sacred scripture this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we have considered the birth of John the forerunner recorded in Luke chapter 1. And now, of course, Christmas morning, the birth of the Savior himself, which is recorded in Luke chapter 2. We read the first 21 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept and pondered these things, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of God, inspired and true. The text for the sermon is verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps you have heard someone say, or you yourself have heard, rather have said, concerning a little toddler, don't you just wonder what's going on inside his mind or her mind? Though they cannot speak, only maybe 1 or 2 years old, not able to talk and communicate, yet you can tell by their behavior. They understand what's going on. Maybe the way she's analyzing something, it's very clear. She's studying it and she's thinking about it. Or maybe the child is simply sitting and looking and staring, and you wonder what is going on in the mind of that little child. Well, the fact of the matter is that the mind and heart of a child are unknown to us, but not only that of a child, the heart of every being is unknown to us. It is impossible to see into the heart of another being, and that's true, of course, with God. We're not able to see into the heart of God and know the mind of God and what God is thinking. We're not even able to see into the heart of a loved one, maybe even our own spouse. We don't know what is in the heart of another being. The heart is closed and it's known only to the possessor of it, and God, of course. But sometimes we get a glimpse into the heart. One will reveal to us what is in the heart or the mind, and that certainly is the wonder of the gospel, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25, verse 14. The wonder of the gospel is that God opens his heart to us. And other people may open their hearts to us through words, speaking, communicating, and eventually a little toddler will grow up and be able to talk and tell us what he or she is thinking. How intriguing it would be to look into the heart of Mary. Of all people, to look into the heart of Mary, because Mary's body, as it were, not only housed her heart, Mary's body housed her Lord and our Lord. The second person of the Trinity made flesh was inside Mary. In her womb was God incarnate. And how intriguing then to be able to look into the heart of that woman in whom also was the Messiah. And the word of God this morning in Luke 2 verse 19 takes us to the heart of Mary, and we see what was going on in Mary's heart. And there was much activity in her heart. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them. And the tense of that verb, pondered, in the original indicates a continuous activity. Mary was continuously pondering something. Her heart was very, very active. And that's instructive for us this Christmas morning. There's a time in the life of the child of God to be very, very busy in all of the works of God and in the service of God. And there's a time to use the tongue to speak and to sing, but there's also a time to stop and ponder and to be very, very active inside in our own hearts. And God willing, by his grace, there is pondering. Pondering in our own hearts. So that if another person were to look into our heart, they would see pondering. And if God were to look into our heart, which he does, he would see, by his grace, pondering. And as our little children grow up and are able to speak to us, they can even tell us that they have pondered something, as Mary pondered. Let's consider Luke 2, verse 19 this morning under the theme, Mary's pondering. Notice three things. First of all these things. That is, what? What did she ponder? All these things. In the second place, kept and pondered what she did with all of these things. And then in the third place, doing the same, our response to the truth of this text. Mary's pondering. All these things, kept and pondered, doing the same. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the question is, to what does all these things refer? Certainly, because Mary had just given birth for the first time to a little baby boy, all these things includes the circumstances surrounding the pregnancy and the birth of this little child. Just as any mother who gives birth, and especially who gives birth for the first time, will contemplate and meditate and ponder that pregnancy and that birth. And so it was with Mary. She no doubt pondered how she and Joseph left their hometown of Nazareth and traveled all the way to Bethlehem. Though she was great with child, some 9 months pregnant, probably riding on a donkey, not a very nice thing to do when one is great with child. And then they came to the inn, which was so busy and full, and there was no room for them. So they had to go and find a less suitable place in order to bring forth the baby. And then the baby was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it was laid in a manger. And there the baby was now, right next to Mary. And no doubt as she pondered, she was pondering all those circumstances of the pregnancy and birth of the, especially the last few hours, and the actual delivery of the child. What mother doesn't ponder those things? However, the text is not referring with the phrase, all these things, is not referring especially to the ordinary circumstances of this pregnancy and birth, but to the unordinary, yea, even the extraordinary, that is, the extraordinary circumstances of this pregnancy and birth. And first of all, and mainly, Mary was pondering the visit of the shepherds, for that is the immediate surrounding context of the text. The shepherds had just come and found Joseph and Mary and the babe. And that whole visit, Mary now pondered. Shepherds came and they told Joseph and Mary how it was a very ordinary night. They were out watching their sheep, keeping watch over their flock. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared unto them, and they were afraid. But the angel said, Mary, the angel said unto us, fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then the angel gave to us a sign that we would find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And as we were about to contemplate the wonder of it all of a sudden the heavens were filled with a radiant brightness as the angel was surrounded by a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And the angel left us. And we talked amongst ourselves and said, come, let's go. Let's make haste to the city of David, Bethlehem, and find this child in swaddling clothes in a manger. And now here we are. And they looked at the little baby, all those shepherds. This is the Savior. This is the Lord our God. The day of our redemption has drawn nigh. You gave birth to him? I did. And what is your name? My name is Mary. I'm of the house of David. And this is my espoused husband. His name is Joseph. And he's of the house of David. And this little baby is your baby? He is. And he's my Savior. And the shepherds looked at him and believed he was their Savior. And then they said, come, we need to go now. And they noised it abroad throughout the countryside, and there they went. And now having left, there sat Mary, or there was lying Mary with the babe in the manger, and she pondered that visit and the words of those shepherds and their response to that poor little child in the manger. All these things includes the visit and words of the shepherds. But we have to go back even farther to the first extraordinary experience of Mary, and that was when the angel came to her to tell her that she would give birth. Mary was very ordinary. She was a very ordinary. Her childhood was very ordinary. Her early adolescence was very ordinary. There was nothing different about Mary. She was right there in Judea with all of the other girls. But then all of a sudden, it all changed when an angel came to her. Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And she's troubled. And the angel said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And no doubt right there Mary started pondering, how will this be that I will become pregnant? The Holy Ghost shall cause me to conceive, and in my womb will be the Son of God. And then soon thereafter, she went and visited her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth had a little baby in her womb. And when that little baby in Elizabeth's womb heard the voice of Mary, it leaped. And Elizabeth indicated that. And Mary heard that. And Mary then praised the Lord, saying, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And there was all those experiences concerning the word of the angel to her and her visit with Elizabeth. And now, just having had the little baby Jesus, Mary is pondering. And she's pondering that experience that belongs to all these things. The extraordinary. She was also pondering the word of Joseph to her. All these things includes the fact that when she became pregnant, Joseph did not put her away, though everyone had reason to suspect she had committed adultery, and especially Joseph. He had nothing to do with her in an intimate kind of way, but Joseph did not put her away. And Joseph came and told her, the angel appeared unto me and told me that you are pregnant by the work of the Holy Ghost. And this is to fulfill Old Testament prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and give birth to Emmanuel. Joseph would have come and told that to Mary. And now, as she gives birth to the little baby and he's lying in the manger and she ponders, her pondering includes those things. All these things. There's the new mother sitting or lying near to the manger, and there's the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and Mary is pondering all these things, that is the extraordinary saving works of God. She's pondering God's marvelous work of fulfilling and bringing to pass his eternal counsel right here through her. She's pondering the marvelous work of God and fulfilling Old Testament prophecy right now through her. She's pondering the marvelous work of God to redeem his people by now bringing forth the seed of the woman through her. She's pondering the marvelous revelation that this is God's own son. This babe is God's own son, God in the flesh. She's pondering the great work of God who has now raised up a son of David to sit upon the throne forever and ever and ever, having no end. She's pondering the revelation of God's covenant faithfulness and mercy displayed now as never before. But especially all these things that she ponders finds their central significance in that word she had just heard. The shepherds had just come and told her what they saw and heard, and how the angel said, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior, my Savior, the Savior of my people. This child is the Savior who will save me from my sins. All these things were the extraordinary saving works of God that she believed. And even as she pondered, the shepherds believed, those grown men believed, this little baby was their Savior. all these things. All these things Mary kept and pondered. The text states, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In her heart. Not simply on her tongue so that she repeated them. She didn't simply write them in a kind of journal or diary, whatever that might have been in that day, if even possible. But that's not the idea, that she wrote them down. She kept all these things in her heart. And the heart is the spiritual center of a man and of a woman, wherein is seated the mind and the will and the emotions and all of the thoughts, therefore. Everything is centered in the heart. And there Mary kept all these things. The most important place to keep the most important things is the heart. And there Mary kept all these things. She kept them. That verb also indicates continuous activity. She didn't simply keep, but she was continually keeping all these things. And that word can mean preserve or even treasure. So that, as it were, the heart of Mary was a treasure chest. And she was taking all these things and treasuring them up in her heart, preserving them, keeping them in her heart, right in her heart. And there they were safe. They would never be lost. A diary could be lost. All these things are safe in her heart. And there they would be preserved forever and ever, as long as she would live. She would always have these things with her because she treasured them up in her heart. She didn't ignore them or dismiss them or overlook them. She took them all and treasured them in her heart. And then pondered. She pondered them. And that is the main word of the text. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You will notice that in the text, the word them is italicized, indicating it has been added by the translators, so that the text does not literally say, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But the text says, Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. And the importance is that she didn't simply ponder the act, she didn't simply ponder the event, but she pondered the significance of it, the saving covenantal significance of all of these extraordinary works. She pondered them. That's a beautiful word. Pondering is the spiritual activity of the child of God, whereby he takes something, some mighty work of God, and spins it around in his heart. One of the root meanings of that word ponder is to revolve, to spin around. That's what pondering means, to spin it around in the heart. And one cannot help but think of a merry-go-round. It goes around and around, or even better, a carousel. Carousel. That exciting ride for children, it might include horse-shaped figures or something else upon which children can sit, and it goes round and round. There's all kinds of jovial music and graphics and bright lights and colors, and it goes round and round and round. And one can stand off, often a parent stand off in the distance or sit there and watch it. And you watch the carousel go round and round with all of its parts. Now let's stop pondering any experience we may have had with a carousel and see how it applies to the text, children. Carousel. That represents an experience. An experience is something you do or something that happened to you. And every experience has many parts to it. An experience with all of its parts is represented now by a carousel. To ponder is the activity inside your heart whereby you take that experience with all of its parts and you spin it around. And then, as it were, in your heart, you stand off at a distance and you watch that experience with all of its parts go round and round. That's what it means to ponder. We also say to contemplate or to meditate. Take, for example, a vacation. You went on a vacation. That's one experience, and it has all kinds of parts to it. And later on, you might ponder that vacation. That means in your heart, you spin it around, that experience, and you just watch it with all of its parts. Or maybe it's a bad experience, something unpleasant, and you were hurt, maybe as a child going to the doctor to get shots. One experience with all kinds of parts to it, and later on you ponder it. You spin it around in your heart and watch it, all of the parts. Or it's an adult who's had a bad experience, and she's lying in bed, and she can't get it out of her mind, some experience, and it goes round and round and round, and in the heart we're watching it. That's pondering. Mary pondered. Mary took all these things. She took the whole experience of her pregnancy and birth and the labor with all of its parts. She took the word of the angel to her. She took the word of Joseph. She took the visit to Elizabeth. She took the traveling down to Bethlehem, and there was no room in the inn. And she took the actual birth itself. She took the visit of the shepherds and their word and what the angels had done and told them. And she took the response of the shepherds to that little child and how they believed. She took all of these things, and she spun them around in her heart. And as it were, in her heart, she stood there and just watched them all go round and round and round. And she said, "What a God I serve, and what a Savior this is, and how lowly a sinner I am. And this little child is the Son of God, born in poverty for me. Oh, blessed Savior, what a marvelous God." And maybe the little baby Jesus was in the manger. He was a real human being crying. He did make. He was a real human being. And maybe the little child Jesus was in the manger crying, and Mary didn't hear him. And Joseph says, "Mary, Mary." Oh, she was pondering in her heart all the mighty, extraordinary, saving, covenantal works of God. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. But Mary, this activity is a great contrast in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is so full of movement and activity. You have Caesar Augustus with his decree that all the world should be taxed. And now the whole Roman Empire is filled with activity as all of the people go to their hometown to be taxed. And there's Joseph and Mary. They're busy and they go to the city to be taxed. And there's the inn. It's full. There's no room there. The hustle and bustle of all of the people. And there are the shepherds watching their flocks. And all of the angels appear in the heaven. And now the shepherds leave and make haste. They go to Bethlehem. And they find this little child. And then they go out and noise it abroad to the countryside. All this activity and movement. But Mary. Still, quiet. All the movement of men and angels outside of her, but she was still and quiet. But then if you could only see into her heart, there was an activity greater than all the activity outside of her, and it was the pondering as she was spinning round and round all those experiences and contemplating and thinking about them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Physically still, spiritually in her heart, very, very active. And we do the same. We ponder all these things. There is not a time to ignore and reject these things, though many did, and though many today continue to do, there is not a time to ignore and reject the extraordinary saving works of God, especially found in the incarnation of Jesus. There is a time to be busy and to be running hither and yon performing the service of God. There's a time to be busy. There's also a time to praise and use the tongue, to make melody, to shout hallelujahs, to join a choir and sing in a concert. There's a time to praise with the tongue. But young people, and boys and girls, and adults, both young and old, and all of us, men and women, male and female alike, there is also a time to stop. And ponder. Ponder what great things God has done. A time to meditate and contemplate. Maybe it's while you're driving. Maybe you work with your hands during the course of the week and you have time to let your mind, your heart spin. Maybe you need to take a walk for a half hour just to get out and go on a walk or a bicycle ride. Maybe it's nothing to plan, but it happens spontaneously as the Spirit moves us. But there must be time in the life of a Christian, a child of God in this world, to stop and ponder what great things God has done. To ponder our own misery, how wretched and defiled we really are in our sin and guilt. To ponder that little babe in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, which was only a picture of his humility, that he was wrapped in the shame and the guilt, not simply of other people's sins, but I have to ponder, he was wrapped in the shame and guilt of my sins. And you have to ponder that. And ponder how he grew up and waxed older and grew in wisdom and in knowledge and went all the way to Calvary with that burden which he had and died as the Son of God to take away our sins. We have to ponder his identity, who he really is as the kingly Son of David sitting upon an eternal throne, and he's ruling right now and he's coming again. We have to ponder the anthem of the angels, glory to God in the highest, so that sound and praise reverberates in our own heart and is not simply words, but it's a reality for us. Glory to God. And we ponder the depths of God's saving love and mercy, that he should be willing to save through his Son Jesus Christ, born of a woman, sinners so great as we are. Let's ponder. Ponder with delight the great and saving works of God, as Mary did so long ago. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thou hast done so many works. Time and eternity will not afford us the opportunity to ponder them all. But do give us that spirit, that spiritual grace in our hearts to ponder and meditate and contemplate upon all these mighty works that thou hast done for us. We thank thee for thy word. Now work it in our hearts. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.